Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Contending for Truth Radio. I am multitasking right now. The last, actually, this day has been just kind of crazy. Sometimes happens. I'm so glad that I can open up multiple tabs on my computer. We're going to have a great show tonight. We're going to discuss something very important. We've been working on looking at the different states and what is going on with C-Scope and Common Core and the attempt to take over with a top-down, very small group control of the curriculum of our students in our schools in the United States. And I say it that way to say that there's more to it than that. There's more to it than just the curriculum. In fact, actually, if the government wanted to just, put out a single book with a listing of the basic things that really need to be covered from kindergarten to 12th grade, that probably wouldn't be a problem. In fact, I think we've really got that basically in most states, and they're both basically mostly the same. You learn certain things. You learn, your states and capitals in the 5th grade, and you're supposed to learn the Constitution in the 8th grade, and we got things that are pretty much standard. But there's some other pieces to Common Core and to C-Scope. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight. We're going to talk about what happened in Texas. It was great yesterday. It was a huge domino that fell. And it was the curriculum part, and it was the part where the people of the United States said, no, we on a local level need to have control of our curriculum. They're saying that all over. And Texas, they've been saying that all over Texas, and they got it, and they really pushed that out. But we're going to really look in depth at this evening. This is Contending for Truth Radio. We broadcast this show each week with Jennifer Montrose and Stacey Tawbush and Dan McMahon as they are able to join us. Sometimes times get busy and sometimes we're a little bit late, but I do know we've got Jennifer Montrose with us right now. And we're going to go right into this and look directly at what happened yesterday. And Jen, We got all excited yesterday, and I said even last night on the show, there's some things in there that in that press release that I wasn't really happy with. But what's your take on all of this? I assumed Jennifer was in there, and it is Stacy that is in there. No, they just dropped. They just dropped. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're having problems with Blog Talk tonight, so we'll just keep talking. What I want to do and where I was going to go back to as soon as we got everybody back together is, let me type in here, I saw you, thought it was Jennifer. I'm typing at the same time, and I cannot type and talk, folks, but I've got to explain. I thought that was Jennifer in there because Jennifer and I were just talking about tweeting the show, and I need to write these numbers down so I recognize my own people. So I do believe that we have Stacy with us. And Stacy, is that you?
Hey, yeah, it's me. I'm really proud of myself for making it in by 9 o'clock. I'm like a champion tonight. We just got in from Disney, and I've been like on a political hiatus for 3 days, and it's kind of crazy when you're like 24/7 into it and then release yourself. I've got this whole new passion for it built up again. And so when I came home and saw that Texas had this big step towards C-Scope and all this, and it just fired me up. So if you could give me and whoever else is listening a recap of everything that's happened, I would love that.
Well, and I'll do that. I'll do what I was going to do next. I'm going to read this quick press release from Senator Dan Patrick. He's a state senator there in Texas, District 7. Seems to be a pretty good guy. I'm really concerned with a little bit of what this says, but and I'll point that out. But it came out yesterday, Stacey, in pretty early in the morning, actually. It was Patty Justice Wells that actually, or was it Christy Waters? One of the two posted it in Cost. And that was the first I'd seen it, but everybody else had seen it an hour earlier. I was a little bit low on the draw. But Austin, a letter signed by all 20 members of the board, released this morning, stated they will notify their 875 school district clients that all lesson plans will be removed from their website on August 31st, 2013, and that districts cannot use any lessons they currently have beyond that date. The August 31st date corresponds to notice clause in their contracts with their districts. The letter goes on to say that the regional service centers will not produce lesson plans in the future. So C-Scope is out of the lesson plan situation. However, that's not the whole story. The 20 service centers will return to their original business plan of providing a management tool for teachers to stay on schedule regarding the teaching of the required TEKS. And I'm not – somebody from Texas would have to explain that to me. I've seen so much. The official vote will take place at an already scheduled board meeting on Friday, May 24th. And this is a quote from Dan, from Senator Patrick. I'm pleased that the C-Scope board has made the decision to get out of the lesson plan business. This is a positive development for students, parents, teachers, and for the regional service centers, and Senator Patrick, said Senator Patrick. I also want to thank the members of the Senate Education Committee for their months of work on this issue. I also want to thank Attorney General Abbott and his staff in providing valuable assistance in our review of C-Scope, added Patrick. For those of you who don't know, Attorney General Abbott is getting ready to run for governor of Texas, and quite impressive, by a very close friend of this station, Michael B., who's got Conservative Nation Radio down in Texas. He was one of our co-hosts on Conservatives Coast to Coast that I've done over the last couple of years. And a very close friend. We work very, very close together in everything we do. And he's right behind General Abbott. It's great to see that he was the driving force in this fall, partial fall for C-Scope in Texas. And then I want to go down to the I lost it just a second. I hate that little thing where you click on the computer and it gives that little ball, and when you move your mouse up and down, it goes to the end of the thing. Once the TESCCC office approves this measure Friday, I will notify – this is the end of the letter. I skipped the bulk of it. I will notify the SDOE that they do not need to review the 1,600 C-Scope lesson plans. Now, I have a problem with that. I want to know why they're not going to just continue to review them. Was this kind of like, when you go to court, you make deals, and sometimes you agree, we won't talk about this if you'll do this. Is that what this is? Why do they not want to review them? I think the grassroots will probably accomplish that task, and it's probably better off that it be there anyways. So they might have just shot themselves in the foot on that. The C-Scope era is over. However, the last several months has proven is that the state will have to create a plan to monitor all online material in the future. so that our schools and classrooms remain completely transparent to parents and the legislature knows what is being taught in our classrooms across Texas, added Patrick. So Dan Patrick seems to have it as a part, is he's going to go back and make sure we put checks and balances in so this doesn't happen again. So, Stacey, kind of the way that I basically see it is C-Scope is a whole lot bigger, and we'll bring that line in there. C-Scope is pretty good size. It doesn't just, it's just like Common Core, does not just include the curriculum. We know that C-Scope, Common Core also includes data mining. We also know that it includes all kinds of little things, bits and pieces, just like the tax code. You know, last night on the show, I went from the creation to the tax code. And how did I do that? It's real simple. Basics, when you go back to the basics, they apply to everything the same way. The tax code, part of the problem is it's so big you can hide things in it. And legislators do. They use the non-transparency of the tax code. It's 80,000 pages. As Kim Bowen will tell you, it's more than tripled since Reagan. It's huge, and they can hide little things in there they don't want you to see. They did the same thing with Obamacare. They made it so big Aunt Betsy can't read it, and because Aunt Betsy can't read it, then they can hide things in it. It's non-transparent. Common Core and C-Scope are the same thing. They're designed to be big and bulky and a lot so that they can hide things, and it takes a lot for people to see it. I think this is huge because this is the big part. This is what the teachers provide the student in the classroom, the curriculum. That needs to be guaranteed on a local level. I do not have a problem with the government putting out a book. They put out books sometimes. The government does. You know, when Bill Clinton went through his whole big thing, right, they put out a big book so that the American people could have, you know, the court, the records, all these things easily acceptable. I don't have a problem with sitting down, all 50 governors, and writing out and saying, okay, here's a general idea of what you should be teaching in each grade. This is where, you know, the state should pretty much stay this at a certain level. We know certain things you have to learn before certain things. You have to have some basic understandings about algebra before really geometry starts to make sense, even though it's a really totally different math. But some of the basic concepts in there, that's one thing. And I think a lot of times the conversation, the reason I even say this is because the conversation when it comes to curriculum oftentimes goes right back to that. Well, we do need a standard. And I agree. I think we as United States should be making pretty good tough standards, pretty good hurdles, so that we make strong kids. And not all kids are going to be able to cross the hurdle. Some are going to really struggle. Some are going to find it really easy. But we've got to push, and we've got to make strong citizens out of our country. And so I think this is a huge domino that goes over on the rest of Common Core, because that's the problem people are having with Common Core. I think this is a huge domino. It's still a fight we got to fight. They've still got that structure in there to try and take control over the message that goes to the students in the schools. And how they use the schools alongside the pediatricians, alongside the IRS, in order to control the health of this nation and try and manipulate it and eventually, we know, history bears it out, try and tell us how we have to eat and how we have to live because everybody's paying for everybody else's health care. And I don't want to go off any more than that, but I'll throw it right back to you, Stacey, and then Jennifer's on the line, and we'll just go round table.
I think it speaks a whole lot to the power of the grassroots, and I almost see it as like a parental victory. You know, the more we engage, like we've been talking about for weeks, and the more we get involved and the more we speak our voices, we're finally heard. You know, that squeaky wheel, eventually somebody's going to oil it. But I am with you, Scott, and I'm concerned about not reviewing it, because it's not like they were considering this and said, okay, well, let's not do that and let's not review it. Let's just be done with it. They've been teaching these students off of this curriculum. And if I'm a parent in Texas, I want to know what my child's been taught that suddenly it's not a good thing. And I think we're going to find the same thing in Common Core. And it kind of excites me to keep going on my push for Common Core. I'm really disappointed that it's not going to be gone next school year because it's supposed to be fully implemented here. And I found out last week, actually, that they have stopped giving first and second graders letter grades. They're now grading them like they do kindergartners. And I think that doing that is going to wake up so many parents that have older kids and know that by second grade their child should be getting letter grades, and suddenly they're not. And people are going to be engaged and in the school and finally want to know and will be there and educated and be able to tell them. And I think that the grassroots movement is about to get stronger with Common Core. And the C-Scope decision is only going to give us more fire and more things to point to as, you know, we can get away from this. We don't have to stick with it.
You know what, Stacey? I cannot agree with you more. The power of the grassroots is huge in this. And Jennifer and I just got off a phone call, and we've been talking about this a lot in what we've been doing. The grassroots can accomplish a whole lot. Common Core is another scandal. And when these candidates, when we come to this 2014 election, if they will make Common Core one of their center points of their message, they're going to win right and left. We're watching already, and I've had a couple of discussions in the last week on the background with people that supported Common Core, and I got them understanding. It's a pretty simple thing to get a parent to understand the dangers and the direction and the slippery slope of Common Core and C-Scope. We're seeing even most Democrats, all of the teachers' unions are piling on all across the nation. That's the other side. I believe that Common Core was done deceptively, just like all these other things. We found out from those hearings today, watching about the IRS and that situation. What the administration's been doing, and it did it with Benghazi, did it with Common Core, did it with the IRS scandal, it did it with the AP scandal. The reason why getting up to those top people like Hillary Clinton, and they're kind of, it's not making a lot of sense, is because it's going from the White House to the people in below. The White House, the left, the groups behind Common Core, they went to the school districts. They didn't go through the state. They didn't go through the governor. They had some governor's help on this. But as far as the process of getting it instilled, they went down to the bottom. It is not the way we do things in this here United States. They did the same thing with the IRS. These guys at the top didn't really command it. It didn't come from the top through them, and then they set their troops in action. The top went around them and went down to the bottom. Now, those people knew what was going on, knew it was going from the top to bottom, didn't know how to fix it, and then we end up with it. And it's the same on every one of these scandals. It's a pattern of how they're accomplishing the task. And, Stacey, I just have to say, I think you are so right that candidates that adequately use Common Core and the damage of Common Core as a centerpiece, almost, of their campaign are going to win campaigns right and left, because it defines, ends justifies the means. It defines the way the left wants to do things. And when you do that, you get the grassroots very, very, very excited, and they're willing to go and they're willing to run with you. And I do. I think the grassroots is growing by. It's insane. I know personally. I knew. I pride myself on my knowledge of current events and what's going on in politics. I pride myself in that. And I didn't know anything about it until I listened to Phyllis Schlafly interview Orlean Coley. And that was not very long ago. And now everybody I know knows about Common Core. That's how fast it grew. It already toppled in Texas. It was just a couple of months ago I was talking to Orlean Coley, and she was saying, well, it's a huge fight, and we can do it, but we've got to fight. And it went over already. I think it goes over real easy. But I think you're so right, Stacey. What say you, Jennifer? Did we lose Jennifer's there somewhere?
Welcome, everybody.
Oh, there you
I'm
are.
I'm here.
Hey, Jennifer.
I just want to say that, you know, our children's future is at stake. Now, I mean, I even saw today, you know, where they're even talking about FCC regulations on doing the children daytime programming, that they're going to up the ratings. So a lot of the stuff that you want, that you don't normally see kind of, you know, over the top until after midnight will filter down into the daytime television shows. We were talking about just the things that seem to be less and less of an important matter. If we can desensitize our kids, you know, which I think is wrong. I mean, we need to get back to our core values. I really don't want, you know, R-rated stuff being shown or even X-rated stuff being shown during daytime television. And the things that are being, you know, introduced into our school books and stuff is extremely important for us as parents to be more involved in those things. Stacey?
I agree 100%. I'm half excited about what's going on with C-Scope, and I'm half disappointed that somebody would say, let's not look at it, because, you know, they stand up there one day and say, our children are our future, our children are our future, and then they don't want to look at what's being taught to our kids. And then it kind of makes me wonder if any of these people have ever had a kid, and if they were this disengaged with their own children as they are with what they're claiming to be the children of the country that they love and are serving. The best thing that we can do, as Jennifer always says, is reach out and speak to people, and even when we're not comfortable with it. And I think that now's the time, because here in Alabama, you know, we're done with the legislature for the legislator session, and we've got a whole other year, and next year it has to go. And I think, like Scott, you were saying, how quickly it happened with C-Scope. Imagine the outcry between now and then. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if we could just do it and have it stop that day and our kids going back to being, you know, pledge saying happy American children instead of all this socialized education. Scott?
Oh, I agree. I think I've said this for a long time. I think this could be the huge backfire that sends our country going, wait a minute, yeah, we remember what socialism is all of a sudden. It can be used. Jennifer Montrose and I have been having the same discussion now for a year and a half about Alabama and especially the 7th District and what could be done there if you really, really put your mind to it, an illustration on how to win minds and hearts back in this country, which is where we need to go back to. That's what, you know, Jennifer, you brought up a really important subject, and we discussed this in length with Jonathan Barbee last week. It's such an important discussion. What are they feeding in to our children at home as well as at the school? You know, at school, we can't be there 6-7 hours a day. We can be here at home, and the same parents that are not paying attention to what's going on at school are not paying attention to what comes through our different sources of media. You know, I'm very, very, I'm very fortunate that I can work my way around a computer pretty well. I've spent the last 10-12 years on the side helping people remove viruses and spyware from their computers, and I know how to go on a computer and go back and see where you've been. And I made sure very early on, as the girls started using the computer, to make sure they understood how easily I could find out where they'd been and that I was more than willing to snoop until they were 18 years of age. And they'll be told that when they're 17 years old. I'll be telling them the same story, and I'll be saying, you know, I've been telling you this since you were 12, since you were 9, but you're hearing the same story. I'm going to still reserve the right to look and make sure I know you're safe. And it does us no good to fight C-Scope, to fight Common Core for the few things that they will really be able to have time to spend time on, and they still got to do a lot of reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we'll let our kids sit at home, watch hours and hours and hours, and never know what's going on. And it's parental sovereignty on both sides. And it goes back to what we talked about last week with Jonathan. We've got to not just fight for our parental sovereignty, we better be using it. We better be using it. We better be putting it into effect. Because you guys are both right. We've all got kids. And we know how impressionable their minds are. We know how it doesn't. We've all said things in front of kids that we wish we hadn't said. And it came back to bite us. We can all think of examples of that and laugh about them. But it's so important, so important. Well, we went around, it got to Jennifer and back to Stacy, so let's keep going in that direction. Jennifer, what say you?
I think that you've got single parents. I think you have the economy dwindling like it is. People are having to work 2 or 3 jobs to make ends meet. Parents are struggling to find the time to take their kids here and there and to be involved. And somewhere in the midst of that, I think that there is this dumbing down of America, that if we can dumb down our children, convince our kids that we got it, we're taking care of it, convince our parents that, you know, then they don't pay as close attention to what's really going on. I mean, how effective is the PTO meetings as they once used to be? You know, are parents paying more attention and just trusting our teachers? Are we getting actively involved? Are the parents allowed to go into the classroom and sit and watch and listen? Or do they want to keep us out so that we are less informed about what's really going on? It's important for us to get off our computers, to get out of those video games, to get out of the television, and to really seriously interact with our kids. We've got to find out what's really going on. I spent a few hours at a fifth grade graduation pool party, was talking to a president of our PTO and asked her what she knew about Common Core. And she was just very sketchy about it, you know. And I said, well, would you be interested in getting together and meeting with me and several other parents at a local diner so we could talk about our kids' education, you know, where there's no threat of bullying, there's no threat of, you know, school board members showing up and threatening us or any of that stuff, so we can feel free to speak our First Amendment rights and speak freely. And she said, that is just awesome. I'm finding out there are other parents out there that are really concerned, and they've got this huge question mark of why is it that my child's bringing home this kind of testing? Why are they, you know, it's like, well, you know, we're just supposed to accept this stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm responsible for my child, not the teacher, not the principal. You know, I am the one responsible for my child and my child's education. And so, you know, it's important that I ask these questions. My friend Wendy Weissenbach today was telling me about some issues that she's having and with, you know, the school that her child goes to. And, you know, when you've got staff that are bullying the kids, not kids bullying kids, but staff bullying kids, it's time for us as parents, you know, to wake up. And, you know, I think that we've got to get more engaged, more involved. If we have several, you know, 100 or several 600, you know, people, parents to show up and to speak loudly and stand up for our children's rights, maybe some school board members will take a look at that. Maybe they will pay attention to us, you know, be more vocal in the media. There's a lot that we can do. I don't think that we're 100% helpless in this. I just think that it's just a matter of doing the necessary things to educate and let other people know. I am always, you know, when I'm out with my son and I run into his friend's parents, I'm always asking them the questions. You know, what do you think about what's going on with your child's, you know, education? You know, I'm always asking. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm finding out I'm not the only one that has these serious questions. You know, there's even more parents now that are talking about the ability to homeschool. And that's become a big subject lately. Stacey?
I think it would be awesome for each of us to engage with the PTO president, because for some reason in my head, I just assume that they're in with the teachers and the school board. You know, I've told y'all before, I have a lot of friends that work at my children's school, and they all are pro Common Core, and they're all about it, and all their friends are, because they are, and they're the teachers, and we trust them to be doing the right thing for the children. But I have to say also that while I trust them, they don't seem to be saying any of the things that aren't being part of the talking points released by, like, the national education unions or the, you know, the state education unions. And like I've told y'all before, that our teachers feel like our superintendent, Tommy Bice, is doing an amazing job, which I laugh at. I was standing at my daughter's award ceremony the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher at the school, and she was talking about how she was glad there was no presidential fitness award anymore. We do the governor's award now. And she said, I wouldn't want my daughter having anything signed Barack Obama. And I just looked at her, because this is the lady that talks about Common Core and how great it is. So while on one hand we say, well, let's just tie the ideas and preach the ideas, in conservative states like Alabama, I don't think it would hurt to tell people, you realize this is Obama's idea. You really think that's good with this scandal and this scandal and this scandal? Scott, I think calling it a scandal is the perfect word for Common Core.
Oh, so true. What you both said, huge. You know, Jennifer does this a lot. She's always talking to somebody and always saying, let's sit down and get a group together and discuss this. And it's one of the most powerful ways you can do it. And it is a lot easier to get a hold of some of these people instead of confronting them at a school board meeting where they bring in their other, you know, they bring in their talking points and so on and so forth. We have a hard time. We're not prepared to argue yet. We're not prepared to debate yet. And it's a big problem. But on the other side, you know, Stacey, what you said really, really hits my craw, because I have seen in the groups that I'm involved in, and I'm involved in four groups, and the biggest one especially, there's a lot of attitude of just stick with Common Core. Don't make it political. It's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. And where I want us to be civil in our discussion. This is what you said is true. This is an example of what the problem is with the other side's agenda. It's a huge example of it. And when they stand there and they say, I'm a Republican and I'm a conservative and I like it, we know one way we have to go with the discussion. They just don't get a few things. And there's another person on the other side that's always voted Democrat that says, I hate Common Core. I do not like this. I do not want parents' rights stamped on. I don't want them preaching on the right or to the left in our schools. There's a bunch of those parents. And this is the illustration to explain to them why they've been voting for the wrong side. because everything else falls into the same category. It all works the same. When you put it on the other end of socialism, of big government control, past the control as high up as you can get it, and we know that the goal of this is control from the UN, we know that. It's in black and white. But, you know, when we've got this situation called Common Core, and we're afraid to say, this is why I don't like it. I don't like it because I'm a conservative. If I were a real far left person, I would love this program. I would absolutely love this program because it will fully be a great tool to accomplish what they're trying to do. It works. The program works. I don't want them to have that ability. I don't want them to be able to change this country like that. That's up to the parents. It's up to the local schools, the local school board, the local teachers, the PTA. It's up to them. Jennifer.
It's, yeah, I mean, this is, there's a lot going on that I think that they're just, when I look at society today, where we're at now, and, you know, where it was for me in the 70s and 80s when I was in middle school and high school, just the things that we deemed to be important. I just, you know, the career education, there's so many things, just the, even the extracurricular courses that we take, that we took when I was in school. And now it's just like they want to do away with all that stuff. That, you know, and if it's left up to government to stay in charge of and take control of our children's education, you know, I believe that we've been, if you look back centuries, year after year, it seems like there has been a major just slowly but surely, they're trying to dumb down our kids. And, you know, Frederick Douglass said it best. He said that education is the ticket off of the plantation. He discovered that early on as a slave, that learning how to read and educate and understand was going to allow him the freedom to be able to leave and do and fend for himself. And if we just got to get that dependency off of big government. I think that I was talking to someone yesterday, the president of the Alabama Republican Assembly, and Don Wallace was telling me, you know, it's an easy thing. You know, we've talked about how this race to the top funding, just, you know, you want to offer us, you know, some standards that are supposed to help our kids, take big government out of it, and I'm willing to listen to you. So long as big government is involved, then, you know, it's off the table. It's no discussion. You know, we've got to take a stand. We've got to stand up for our constitutional rights. When, you know, our teachers are not doing the things that they need to be doing to teach our kids. You know, just even the simplest thing, like, you know, teachers that put together these packets, you know, whatever happened to hands-on education for the teachers to actually engage and inspire the kids to want to learn? You know, there's something we said for that, you know, and I think that my child needs to understand what it feels like to win and to lose. You know, the latest thing now is we don't want, you know, kids to feel less than, to feel belittled, you know, or like, you know, it's going to cause them to have, you know, mental problems if they see that, you know, Susie and John are grade A students, you know, and I'm making C and D, you know, that there's, you know, kids need to understand. That's, you learn by doing and participating in life. And there's just the way things are going now, it's imperative. We've got to get involved. We've got to do the necessary things.
And it, you know, there are things that we can do. You know, get involved in your legislation. Find out what's going on. Be aware of those things that are happening. Hold your congressmen, your senators' feet to the fire, and make sure that when you're going to, you know, when it's election time and you've got school board, elections coming up and that sort of thing, be very well aware of who it is that you're voting for. Make sure that other people know who it is that they're voting for in their district, in their areas, and their community, because, you know, we want to make sure that we've got people in there that are fighting for our children's right to learn. Casey?
I want to touch on the big government part and follow up with what Jen just said. Transparency is kind of the key of the Obama administration and the lack of it. With the AP scandal, the IRS scandal, Benghazi, all of it. This is the least transparent administration ever. And I have to tell you that goes into Common Core, and it goes into how they've implemented, but also how it's being taught, because they're doing away with textbooks for the most part. My child doesn't bring home a textbook for her math. I don't see what they're teaching. I don't know what's going on. I actually had a substitute that I was talking to a couple weeks ago at the ballpark. And I was talking to her about how frustrated I was with my son's kindergarten teacher, because she just doesn't engage. I don't get behavior reports. I don't get weekly updates. I rarely know what's going on in the class because it's just not what she does. And I say, I like to know how my son's behaving so I can address it and do something about it. And I said, I feel like the teacher should be telling me, because I feel like I'm bothering her when I go to her regularly. And I think that's the way most parents feel, like they're being nagging. And I made the comment, I will go to a teacher and I will make sure I know what's going on. And she said, yeah, and most teachers don't want parents involved. And that struck me, like, to the bone, that teachers don't want parents involved. And I wanted to rip my kids out of school that second, because I live in a conservative town, in a conservative state, in a conservative part of the country. And if it's here, oh my gosh, Scott, what are you dealing with in California? I can't even imagine what's happening in other parts of the country that we don't see, the parents don't see, the questions that aren't being answered, because this is all coming from the most non-transparent administration ever. And people just are going to assume that the teachers are doing what's best for their child, but the teachers are being told what's best for their child or their children and their student by their state board, being told by the federal board, and that is terrifying to me. Scott?
Well, what they're doing out here in California is they're letting little boys go into the little girls' restrooms if they think they happen to be a little boy, a little girl. I mean, that's the end run of this. You can see it in California. And so I can't imagine some of the things that's going on in some of the classrooms of the big city. They're already indoctrinating right and left. We know they are. Stacey, to keep it on big government, you're right on. Because that's what this is all about. There is a culture that a lot of teachers don't want the parents involved. That's already a culture. Part of that, I have taught junior high, okay? Part of that I understand a little bit. There are a lot of parents out there that are absolutely aggravating. But I know for the betterment of the child, it is best to encourage the parents to be involved in the school and in the child's learning process. And the more you do that, you make your parents better. Sometimes parents just don't get it, and it's very frustrating. And sometimes, you know, you've got the, you know, I like to watch Leave It to Beaver. You've got the blonde kid, the mouthy blonde kid, I've lost his name, that is always in trouble, but you look at his parents and they just kind of make excuses for him. So I kind of understand that. The textbooks. I can understand textbooks are expensive and different ways of getting to a different kind of media. However, I know some very important things about books and computers and where you've got things online and how easy it is for just people to manipulate and turn it off. But the problem with Common Core is it wants to institutionalize what's already going on in our schools by big government. Then we don't just, it's not only that, you know, you've got some teachers that just really kind of don't want the parent involved, and you've got some schools that are working towards a definitely a non-transparent form of curriculum, but you've also got it tied in every 50 state since systematically as part of the institution. We should have the last 20 years been fighting hard for what was in our schools in the first place. We know we got a bunch of crackpot liberals in our schools teaching our children some things that we would not have them taught when it's none of their business to be going in that area. We know that's been going on. And we conservatives should have been the last 20 years on the case. We should have been visiting the classrooms. We should have been finding out, asking our students, our children, what they're learning in school, going down and finding out, going down and investigating, and making sure that the things are right. We haven't done that in the first place. But we let Common Core slip in and institutionalize it into our schools. We have no way of fighting it. Then when we sit down and fight what goes on in our schools, we're fighting the federal government. We're not fighting the local school board anymore. And we won't win unless we've got enough people in this country to just rise up. And we don't want to see revolution. We don't want to see that kind of a thing in this country. We've come a long way as peace. But we know throughout history, sometimes the people have had to rise up. We don't want to get to that point. We don't want to get to the point where the federal government's got control over everything, and the people have control over nothing unless they rise up. We've got a great system. We've already got a great system, and it's built on the basic concept that the local government is better at handling most things because of bureaucracy and because of the pattern of man and the nature of man. It's just better to have most things ran from the local level. There are certain things that it's really powerful to have the federal government do. Run a military and protect the land is one of those things. Building major highways, that's kind of important, although you get a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse, and a lot of money that's spent that shouldn't have to be spent. So you've got that problem. If you look at Obama's green record, you know, he tried to do the same thing with a bunch of companies. He took the federal government and he went around the legislation and he invested money, government's money, in these little small corporations that were doing green energy stuff, stuff that yet really has a way of really making a profit yet. There's not a profit margin in a lot of it yet because they don't have the law of supply and demand yet. The government goes in and tries to go around that. Go around the law of supply and demand. And if he runs the schools like he ran all his green energy corporations, we're in big trouble. He runs the schools like he's ran Benghazi. The result is Benghazi. It's the way he's running his foreign policy that's the problem. He's running it the exact same way. He goes around kind of the checks and balances and goes down to a little guy that he can either bribe or intimidate and gets them to go along with it and all gather together in a big union and say yes, and then he just thinks that the people don't get a say. Well, Texas found out. Texas said no way. And, you know, Stacey, you're just right. This is all about big government. It's all about big government. In order for big government, and this is true throughout history, you can go all the way to the Tower of Babel, you can go all the way to Babylon and the history of the early civilization in Mesopotamia, whether it be biblical history or regular secular history, either one. Go all the way back to the beginnings of civilizations, and you find the same pattern over and over and over again when you try and have a large control over the population, over society, by the government. It never works outright, no matter how well-intended you are. matter if your intention is to save the earth from itself, from global catastrophe, which we know is a lie, and warmed in 15 years. It would quit warming before they made it an issue again. It had quit warming. All of these things go together, and it all goes back to big government cannot micromanage. Big government cannot micromanage, and if we let them micromanage our schools, we're going to be in huge problem. And that's not a Republican issue. That's not a Democrat issue. That's an American issue. It's just there's a lot of Democrats that used to feel that way. You know, Robert Kennedy felt that way. President Kennedy felt that way. They've come a long way. The Democratic Party's come a long way. The far left's got a hold of them, and they don't represent the same thing. But there's a huge chunk of Democrats in that party that understand the concept and know it. We can take this and use it as a huge snowball against big government. We can take that 80,000-page tax code and use it as a huge snowball against the big government. And when we conservatives, instead of arguing the fringe, and instead of arguing about homosexual marriage, instead of arguing about rape and abortion, that tie together issue and go back to the standards of why we believe abortion is wrong in the first place, why we believe that marriage and the sanctity of the family should be encouraged, and the positives that come out of it and the negatives that when society gets rid of it come out of it. We won't have to discuss gay marriage anymore. We won't even have to have that discussion. Because even if it was legal for people of the same sex to marry, you couldn't touch the real family, the real marriage. You wouldn't be able to touch it. The only reason it's able to be touched right now is because we haven't stood up for it. There's my rant. Pass it back to Jennifer before I go too crazy.
Or Stacey?
Yeah, you know what's terrifying, Scott, is that the whole global, well, all of it, I don't know if you've read the, like, the sexual standards that are to be taught in New York under Common Core and all the things that by second grade that children are supposed to be knowing and recognizing. First of all, none of that stuff belongs in school. I vividly remember my parents refusing to let me go to the portion of health class that taught me about sex and stuff because that's to be taught in the home. And that's what my dad, who was a Democrat, taught me, was that it wasn't the school's place to do that. And I think you're right, Scott. Democrats are not these socialist, you know, far less people that are in the White House. I think that once upon a time, not too long ago, Democrats were seen like what we call rhinos. And it's gone so far left so quickly, it's terrifying. And they don't have any right to teach my children about sex at all, but to teach them that a man can kiss a man and it's okay and they should marry, and then to tell them that a girl can go in the boys' locker room and shower because she thinks she's a boy, I have an issue with that. And with Common Core, I have no way to have my voice be heard. And I think parents are going to be waking up to that real quickly when it starts to move in states outside of California, because it's going to, because it's a national standard for us to accept these things. I'm not okay with the homosexual teaching or the environmental teaching. In second grade, they're already teaching my children about DDT and global warming and all that, and that's not okay with me because I study up on this stuff and I know the facts, and they're teaching them false things and rewriting the truth in science and in math and history, obviously, but it's, I'm going to say what Jennifer always says, it's time to stand up and stop it. I mean, our boys and girls are showering together. My boys did not come out of me thinking that other boys were cute and that they got to decide whether they wanted to marry a boy or a girl. They came out talking about marrying girls and me having to correct them and how they treat ladies. It's not nature. And our country was founded on nature's law. Thomas Jefferson talked about it a lot when in his writings about how our country was founded on nature law. All our founders did, and everything this administration is doing, all the way down to education and what they're teaching our children to believe, is against it. Gus?
So agree. And, you know, when it comes to teaching sex ed, here's the way the party goes. You know, you and I, Stacey, would probably put the age and what a child needs to really, really start knowing details about sex at a lot later age than most people that don't believe in God. I know that my mom and dad did a pretty good job of explaining things. My mother was a little bit embarrassing at times, but and it was progressed at a certain rate. We know that these people want to start teaching some of these graphic things at kindergarten. Now, I understand that there's certain things that really, really need to be understood, and it's important that our society knows them, and STDs is one of them. But it's a very simple thing to explain in a classroom as kids get older, that the more you play around, the more chance you've got of getting an STD. And sometimes they last for life. Sometimes you can fix them, but most of the time they're pretty embarrassing. So it's up to your mom and dad to teach you exactly, you know, what your morality is behind that. But we can tell you that it's pretty basic that the more unprotected sex you have as you grow older, the more chance you're going to have to get it. And beyond that, they really don't have an ability to not take the subject and run with it as far as they can. California, as crazy as we are, passed Prop 8 with 60% of the population of California voting. Why was that? Well, you know, Prop 8 was losing until a couple of kindergarten teachers decided that they were going to bring the kindergarten class to the steps of City Hall so that they could watch these two women get married. And I don't have a problem. I don't want to see us legislate morality in a lot of ways. I think that's the job of the church, to be the salt of the earth. And I think we get into a mess when we start legislating certain things. But we also have to respect certain things in our legislature when we legislate things. One of those things is what the family is and how it works together to better society. If we let Common Core in, we know where they're going to take it. They're going to take sex ed as far as they can take it. They're going to take sex ed to kindergarten, and they're going to explain to kindergartners exactly every way you can have sex, including sex with animals. Society's been there before. We've done this before. We've got, even if you leave biblical out of it, you've got, you know, a certain amount, 1,000 years back of secular history. And we can go through nation after nation, history after history, and we can find over and over and over again, as the morality of the people declines, so does the nation. It happens every single time. The more the morality declines, the less the parents teach in the home, the less strength we have, the more government dependence, the weaker the society. And this has all happened before. This has all happened before. You know, and Jonathan pointed out last week, I really enjoyed having him on the show, pointed out some really, really important things about our media that we've already discussed tonight. And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Jennifer Montrose.
I want to say thanks to everybody that's been listening tonight, and also for the other co-host on the show. I'm just, I tell you, the things that I read, the things that I hear, the facts that I know, it's scary. The more that I see that big government seems to be creeping in to our lives, that they want to know more about the details of our intricate personal lives that have nothing to do with, at the end of the day, with teaching our kids at school. So if I challenge you to talk to your kids, talk to their friends, parents, engage in conversation with them, find out what they know, get informed yourself. Don't rely on just the teachers and the school board to be in the know and to tell you what's really going on. When Hitler, before he got elected, you know, he was doing some pretty heavy media propaganda stuff, convincing everyone that life was going to be so much better once he got into office. And I think we have that similar song and dance going on right now, that, you know, that if we have others taking care of us, that all will be well. And I want my child to understand how to fish, you know, in all the ins and outs of what it takes to feed himself. I want him to understand economics and math in a way that will help him to prosper financially as he gets older, to be able to raise a family if he chooses to. I want him to have equal opportunity like I had. But if we keep going down this path with Common Core, if we keep allowing big government to step in and take control, then, you know, there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee what will our kids' future is at stake here. So I encourage to get out there and engage and ask questions. I think it's a parent's right to want to, that the teacher doesn't want to tell you what's really going on. If you still have any questions, you know, then go further than that. If you feel like you're getting a song and dance from the principal's office, you know, talk to other families, talk to other parents, find out what's going on in their precinct, in their area, with their schools. You know, I just because you live in a impoverished, poor district, I think that those children deserve just as much a right to a good, solid education as someone who lives on the, you know, north side of town in a wealthy area. And, you know, I think it's time that we take a stand as parents. Rise up and be there for the voices that don't know. I mean, when you're in the fourth grade, you know, the things that should be on a child's mind, that should be their focus, the way that Common Core is trying to educate and teach now, it's scary to me. And I just, you know, I thank you for Stacy and the things that she's doing to make a difference, and for Scott. And we have many others like Lisa, Hannah, and Johnson Barbie, who are doing those things to be on the front line to make sure that people understand. So we thank you guys. And with that, I'll pass it over to Scott. Scott?
I'll jump in, Jennifer. It sounds like you're crazy busy over there. I just got mine down. I think that I'm excited tonight. I'm going to go back to the C-Scope thing. How cool is it that the grassroots there managed to pull this off? And I can kind of see in my head these people that are sitting at home frustrated that the legislature isn't going to, you know, look further into what it is, because as conservatives, we tend to get a win and look at the loss instead of appreciate the win. So I think that we should really
recognize how huge that is, because we have people who, like me, I've only been really engaged in politics for about a year, and I imagine that's the way it is in Texas, and these people that fought and fought and fought and fought and fought to get rid of this curriculum, and it's been taken out of Texas. Like, that's so big for them, and it's such a big win, and they've got to feel like champions, and they've got to feel hope, and they've got to be excited. I can't, if that were to happen in Alabama today, I would sit home and cry. I would be so excited. And so I just got to say a big praise God for that kind of thing, because, you know,
I've been on mute.
Go ahead, Scott.
I hit the wrong button. I hit the speakerphone.
Doesn't work when you're on mute.
No, I got the mute on one side and the speaker on the other side, and I had my niece standing in front of me trying to get my attention right as I went to talk, which always messes me up. And then I just went on talking. I've been talking this whole time. But, you know, I just want to say, great show tonight. We really conquered what I really wanted to conquer, and that's the basics behind all this. And it's important. It is important because our parental sovereignty is huge. Our right to raise our children the way we want to raise them is just absolutely huge. And, you know, I want to take it for a moment to Jared Markham. Jared Markham, they've opened up a brand new page on Facebook. If you will go to Jared Markham Call-In, Jared Markham Call-In, Call-In, and they're going to do a phone call, a conference call, June 5th at 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time. So that's what, 7 o'clock my time? Oh, boy, right when I first get up. They're going to have that and discuss some of this. You know, this is important because of all the things that we talked about tonight. We didn't talk about a whole lot of specifics of things we could have talked about, different aspects, different curriculum aspects, specific examples. And Jared's story is not Common Core. Jared's story is not C-Scope. But what Jared's story is Jared's story is where they would like to go and eventually get there systematically by Common Core. Jared Markham, at 14 years old, 8th grade, was arrested because he wore an NRA T-shirt. He got arrested because he stood up for his First Amendment rights, period. Simple. And Jared's dad has said from the very beginning, we're going to fight this until we don't have to deal with this anymore. And we've talked about Jared. We've continued, I think, every week to mention Jared. I'm going to try to each week. I want people to look up Jared Markham. All you got to do is Google him. All kinds of stuff will go up there. He made it to every outlet. His story was told on Drudge, on Fox. It was told on Fox 2 days in a row, two different stories at the top of the webpage. All of the networks covered it. It went everywhere, and his dad's going to fight. His dad's going to fight until we don't have this anymore. Because this is the importance of it. They want to eventually, using Common Core and the curriculum and the control of the schools, teach every student in the United States that guns, having guns is not good, and that you shouldn't have guns. And that if your mommy and daddy teach you that you should be able to go hunting, and that's a bad thing. You shouldn't shoot little animals. And you shouldn't have guns, because if we take all the guns away, then people will quit shooting each other. Common Core wants to teach exactly that to your students. Now, they haven't instilled it yet, and we've got a situation where Common Core, the curriculum, hasn't even been written yet. Kind of remind you of Nancy Pelosi, got to get it passed before we know what's in it. That's the way they do it. They're proud of that. But you see, C-Scope was curriculum. We do have the example. We know exactly what's in it. We do know what they want to teach when it comes to Second Amendment rights. We do know what they want to teach when it comes to society. We do know what they want to teach when it comes to foreign policy. We do know what they want to teach when it comes to aspects of religions of the world and religion and society. We do know what they want to teach. They've been teaching it for a long time, but not systematically. They've been teaching it a long time because they've really worked real hard to get liberal teachers into the schools that are willing to teach a certain philosophy. And they've accomplished that task very well. Like I said before, we should have been fighting that all these years, and we weren't. They got away with it long enough then to make it systematic using Common Core. And that's the key to it. And I know, I think Jen had to leave. I think that was what she was basically saying. And she gets, by the time she gets to this part of the evening, I know she is dealing with some things that are concerning family and dealing with her son and all kinds of things. I see she's still on the board. But Stacey, any final remarks?
I gotta say, my pastor did a sermon, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, that was really moving to me. And for some reason, it touched me regarding Common Core specifically. And the story tonight about Texas and C-Scope only emboldened that. And it was about the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us and how it's the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead and to allow Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, and how we have that power in us and how just a prayer is that big. And so if we pray that big, then we can expect things that big. And I started really praying about Common Core in that light. And I always say God is bigger than so much bigger than all of this. But when I stop and really think about how big God is, I kind of feel silly for worrying because I know he's going to take care of this. And in Texas, it happened, and it's so exciting. It's going to happen here. And, Scott, it's going to happen in California. One day, I promise I'll come out there and help you make it happen. Like I said earlier, we've got to say praise God about C-Scope, because if we're going to pray to him and beg him to help us stop this, we have to thank him. And to God be the glory for this, because Texas doesn't have Common Core, and now they don't have C-Scope, and I kind of want to move to Texas tonight. Scott?
Well, and, you know, that's why that's on the agenda. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I believe in free market capitalism, is you get to walk. You get to walk across the street. If I'm not happy with the Walmart pharmacy, which I love Walmart. I really do. I've always liked Walmart. But their pharmacy here in Porterville stinks. And I had to deal with it a couple of times a month when I was taking care of Beverly. And they were always out of all things, always out of insulin. Now, you would think that insulin would be something they use a lot of, but always out of it. So I had the ability to walk across the street to Target, who's got a lot better pharmacy, and everything was always done on time, and everything was always there. There was never any problems, as opposed to a problem every other time with Walmart. I got to walk, and that's what we're doing. We're walking from California. There's a lot of crap going on here, and we're walking. We're going to go to Texas. We're going to move. We're not going to buy groceries in California anymore. We're not going to pay taxes in California anymore. We're not going to pay property taxes in California anymore. We're going to move. We're going to go. We're going to go someplace where we've got a little bit more control over our sovereignty. And if the liberals want California, take it. Go ahead. You take it and make it your experiment and leave the rest of us alone. And in 30 years, we'll see if you have to tear down the wall that you guys have had to build to keep the people in because they don't want to be there no more. Because we've already done this experiment in our lifetimes. That's what I don't understand about this. This is the thing, Stacey, that makes me the craziest. When the wall fell, in our lifetimes, I was a teenager. I was a young adult. When the wall fell between East Germany, East Berlin, and West Berlin, East Germany and West Germany, which way did the people run? What was that wall was holding certain people in. Wasn't holding certain people out. Which way did they run? You can tell when you knock over the wall. If you've got a big wall and there's people gathered on both sides and you want to know which way the people want to go, just knock it over and they will tell you. Michael Moore likes to praise Cuba. Well, it's a short distance between Cuba and Florida. And what happens in the shark-infested waters between Cuba and Florida? How many Floridians do you find swimming to Cuba? How many do you find? You don't find any. But every single day, on milk cartons, on tires, on balloons, swimming with bags full of air stuffed in their clothes, any way possible to get across that 30 miles of water. Because if they can touch dry soil, they can stay here if they're Cuban. Now, you know what? That's my kind of immigration policy. You're willing to swim through sharks, shark-infested waters to get here, I'm pretty sure you're going to appreciate it when you do. It's a powerful statement. So let them have it. Let the liberals just have California. I think the conservatives should just get all got up and leave, take their businesses and walk, and then just let California make its big experiment, except for they can't touch Yosemite. They have to stay out of Yosemite. Because even the environmentalists on the left, they are not trying to accomplish of keeping the environment. A lot of times, what they do messes it up. Some of the tactics and some of the policies that California has used over the years that were leftist in the environment to eliminate forest fires have done nothing but make them, when they happen, very, very huge. We used to have little bitty forest fires here in California in the 1800s all the time, and nothing got out of control. Most of them burned themselves out. But then the environmentalists got in and instilled a bunch of policies, and now today when you get a forest fire, it takes off because there's not correct control burning. There's not correct anything. It's a mess. Let them have California. I'm going to Texas, which is going to be closer to Alabama. And Alabama's rocking, and Texas is rocking. Ladies and gentlemen, this is important. And we talk a lot about passionate issues on these shows. Last night, I did a full two-hour rant, Stacey, and I went from God and creation to the Bible, and from the Bible to taxes, and from taxes to Common Core, and from Common Core to Free Don Miller. We just went around in circles, and it all comes back to the same basics. We're going to fight this, and we're going to win it. I want to thank everybody. It was a great show tonight. Contending for Truth Radio, we have a Monday night, like I just said, politics and religion. Most of the time we've got some really great guests on that show discussing all kinds of things where the intersection of what I believe in and my faith and the politics that I stand behind it. And then, of course, tonight, each week, with our co-hosts discussing the things Common Core, we've got some good things planned. We've got some people planned coming up. We've got to get them all scheduled, where exactly where they're going to be. But we're going to start marching through the states and seeing what's going on. My day kind of went crazy on me. I was going to work on trying to get us a couple of people from Texas to call in this evening. But that's all right. It's been a light and easy week for me as far as Contending for Truth Radio. And I've needed that just to kind of not worry about it for a week, and we'll take another deep breath and get ourselves organized for next week. Free Don Miller on Thursdays. This has been planned for a few weeks now. Karen Sigmon, who is with Rage Against the Media, who has a powerful, powerful group, and they are accomplishing the task of making some of the mainstream media pay attention to some things. She was making NBC pay attention to Benghazi before all of these scandals broke. And she is going to come on the Free Don Miller show, and we are going to discuss the atrocity in the story of how the news media in the area just refuses to cover the Free Don Miller story. And it's going to be really good. I think we're going to have a great show. So everybody tune in for that. And then on Friday, boy, wow, if you got a chance to listen to last Friday's, listen, if you don't listen to any other of the ladies' Bible classes, listen to that one. I had more fun. Generally, when I teach Old Testament history and I get to the story of Moses and leading the people out of Egypt, and I get to the first nine plagues, I generally kind of run through them quickly so that I can spend the bulk of my time on the 10th plague and then the institution of the Passover and the fleeing of Egypt. And this time I took and I dedicated the whole class to those first nine plagues, and we really, really had a good time. We laughed and cried right from the table. Had a really good time. So if you get a chance, listen to those first nine plagues on last Friday's show. And then this Friday, we're going to do plague number 10 and the Passover. And remember, we're looking for the portrait of Christ, the Word, and His church in the New Testament that we find in the Old Testament. And it's beautiful. The portrait's beautiful when it's there, when you stand back and look at it. And it's really, really, it's really colorful as we proceed further in the book of Exodus concerning this plague and the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt as they head, as the people head towards Mount Sinai. So if you get a chance, listen to it, listen in on Friday morning at 10:30, and then go back and listen to some of the other interviews we've had. You know, we had some great people on these shows. Over time. Last week on this show, if you really, really want to get a good idea of what this show is all about, go back and listen to what we did last week. Jonathan Barbee was a great guest. We really, really tackled some of the most important aspects of parental sovereignty. And if we could just get that message out to every single American in the United States, we could save this country really, really, really quick. So this has been Contending for Truth Radio. If you've got any questions, you can email us. Email us at c4tradio@yahoo.com. That's c4tradio@yahoo.com. I'm going to run us out tonight with Keep On Keeping On. I love this song. It's been my favorite song at D-Rocks for a while, since I first saw it, actually. Keep on keeping on. You know, sometimes problems get to us. Sometimes the life's hurdles get in our way. You know, when we came up on Common Core, man, I saw it as one of the biggest hurdles ever. I wasn't old enough to really remember the fight for ERA. I remember my grandmother discussing it. I was a little kid. But looking back at history, I know it was a huge hurdle. It was something very scary coming at our country real quick that had it been installed, we'd be a lot further in a mess than we are right now. We got some of the side effects of it. You know, we turned ourselves into a two-income household. When we had an economy and when we had a standard of living and we had set ourselves to live within a one-income household, we had a lot of freedom. The idea that the left pushed with ERA was that women should have the right to have equal. Well, that would be fine. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is I know what their intention was. Their intention was to make us into all women to work, push the women to work, or push the father out of the home, either one. That was the intent, and it was a huge hurdle. And Common Core was a big hurdle. Boy, when I first saw it, not long ago, not more than 3 months ago, that I saw it. Oh my goodness, what is this coming at us? They've socialized our schools. They've jumped in and literally socialized our schools. And boy, folks, it's a battle that we're seeing topple already in big chunks all over the country. There's big battles being won. You guys are rocking down there in Alabama. There are things all over the country where they're saying the states are saying no, and there's a tipping point where at some point the whole thing just collapses when enough states say no. And we're getting there, but we're getting there by keeping on, keeping on. And it doesn't matter how big the hurdle is, we got to still keep out and fight it. There's going to be more that are going to come. My nieces are going to deal with their own hurdles in their own generation, and who knows what they will be? Who knows what they will be? But I know we got to fight as many of them as we can right now to make theirs less. We just sit down and don't do anything like conservatives have pretty much done for the last 20 years. We sat on the couch, watched TV, and enjoyed the fact that everything's okay. And then we found out what happens. We're not paying attention. Now we've got a huge mess going on in our country that dwarfs Watergate, totally dwarfs anything Watergate ever was. So this has been C4T Radio. Keep on keeping on, folks. Listen to the words of this song. This is so important. And this is our theme song to the Free Don Miller Night. I want to thank D-Rock Country. Always give him credit. He's a great patriot, a great guy. Really stands on solid principles. And the words to this song, they really, really rock. So keep on keeping on. Good night.
wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. That things can't get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace is gonna be fine. That word it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Some people will stand in your way.
They're always saying,
always saying what you cannot. Stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember your faith. We'll always see you through it. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. By God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn.